Hall of Shame is brought to you by Whistleblower. In 2007, an NBA referee was caught betting on games. But not just any games, games that he officiated. That referee, Tim Donaghy, wasn't placing small personal bets. He was at the center of a billion-dollar scheme making big money for the mafia. Whistleblower is a new podcast from Tenderfoot TV. Follow along as journalist Tim Livingston investigates this scandal from all sides, even looking beyond one referee and into some of the most controversial playoff and finals games. You will hear from NBA champion Rasheed Wallace, former NBA head coach George Karl, former mobster Michael Fanzisi, and many more, including Tim Donaghy himself. Plus, it's narrated by Soprano star Michael Imperioli. Oh my God, count me in. Whistleblower is available now. Search Whistleblower in your podcast app and subscribe. This sounds awesome. Hey everybody, I'm Rachel Bonetta.
And I'm Rechna Frickbaum, and this is Hall of Shame. Hello?
Rechna,
Where to even begin today?
I don't mean to start off the pod this way, but like your girl is just pissed to the nines today.
I know. It's okay. I think we can start off the pod like that, you know?
Well, sometimes. I feel like maybe this is collectively, this is like how women are feeling right now, perhaps. Shout outs to the dudes that listen to this podcast as well. Maybe you're pissed off too.
Somebody explain to me like what boner these guys have for overturning Roe. It's like, you don't have to get a schmishmortion, you know?
Yeah. I feel like in so many different ways, women are just like taking a hit this week. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, the worst fucking thing happened the other day with Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away.
Yeah.
Rough. And then this week in like my sphere, in our world of like women in sports, like the hits keep on coming.
Yeah.
Maria Taylor, our Lord and Savior, who's fucking so talented at her job, is getting thrown in the mud. Katie Nolan, all of these women that we love and respect. Like, I don't know what it's like. RBG died and dudes are just like, now we can be even more of a dickhole.
It's like they found the ring from the fires of Mordor. Like somehow her death, like, resurrected the ring. Am I such a nerd? You know what I'm saying.
You are. You have no idea. I get it because I'm a nerd too. Yay. Anyways, you know what? I just wanted to say, if you love a woman that covers sports, send them a tweet this week or send them a message or just be like, hey, you're doing a great job. And I know you're probably fucking getting shit on from every single angle. And I just want to know you're cool, because I know that it would mean a lot to a lot of people right now.
Should you take a minute to talk about it? What happened? Or what's happening?
Not really, because I don't want to call more attention to what happened. Basically, this guy is just insanely sexist. The thing is, it's multiple things are happening.
Yeah.
There was an article that came out trashing Maria Taylor, because Maria Taylor, it came out that she gets to vote on the NBA MVP. She left Anthony Davis off of her ballot. Whether that was a mistake or not, all of these people started questioning Maria Taylor all of a sudden. She, I believe, is new to the voting process because she's usually a college football sideline reporter and does a lot of with football. And now she's crossed over to basketball, and she is incredibly talented and knows what the fuck she's talking about. So for her to be questioned on this is just bullshit. And then that just created a firestorm, because all of the women in my position who cover sports are like, ta-ta-ta-ta, no. And then it was just like fire back and forth. Yeah. I can't even look at my Twitter mentions right now because it's just hot garbage.
Yeah. My dudes, like, pull it together and just be allies.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like this week it's just coming from every angle, and it just sucks.
Tough.
We just need a break.
Well, I'm sorry, lady. I think you're doing an awesome job, and I adore you.
Oh, thanks.
So, just FYI.
I feel the same way about you, and I feel the same way about so many women. So, like I said, if you guys are really fond of somebody that is doing a really great job, why don't you go ahead and tell them?
Yeah.
Because maybe they're not hearing some nice things this week.
Acknowledgement goes a long way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, anyways, I feel so good that I got that off my chest.
Good.
And I'm so glad that I didn't even have to name the people, because they don't deserve to have their names spoken on the podcast. How about that? Today, we are doing something a little different. I'm actually very excited about this.
Ooh.
Sports are happening in like a surplus right now, which we obviously love. There's friggin' basketball, hockey, tennis, golf, football,
amazing.
College football in some places. It's incredible. We love it. But there's still a motherfucking pandemic happening. People are stuck in bubbles. Emotions are high. We all saw... How do you say this motherfucker's name? I know it's Novak.
Novak Djokovic? Joker?
I just call him Djokovic. Do you?
Djokovic. Yeah, he's also our worst. Talking about men who don't support women.
Well.
Agent number one.
We all saw Djokovic hit a ball straight into someone's throat. So.
Wild.
Shit's going down. Okay? Emotions are high, like I said. So I thought... Mm. What better way to talk about some of our favorite and not so favorite athletes just completely losing their shit than right now?
Love it.
That's right, baby. We are doing another top five list. This time we are counting down our top five favorite meltdowns. Some will be justified.
This is so fun.
So fun. Some will be justified. Some notorious, and others straight up unnecessary, but we're going to talk about them anyways.
I love that. And I'm like, it's a way to channel our collective rage right now.
Frustration.
In a productive, fun way.
There you go. Okay, so first, before we get going, are you prone to, this sounds ridiculous asking an adult, are you prone to throwing temper tantrums, Rachna?
I can get mad. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the older I've gotten, the less that's true. But like
My
20s, I could see red. Yeah. I feel like it's like probably the thing I've gotten on top of most in my life of just like found better ways is my temper.
Good for you.
It takes a lot. Mm-hmm. But once I get there, it's like kind of over.
I feel like the same in some ways. Like I used to be the queen of temper tantrums. I have three older brothers. We always used to play sports, whether it was like badminton in the backyard or basketball or whatever. And I used to throw these shit fits where I would literally just burst into flames and I would bite them. I had no other weapons. I had no other way of like inflicting
expressing
harm.
Yourself. Yeah.
My brothers were so much older than me and I needed to win.
My belief is that little kids, little ones tantrum because they have these feelings and they don't have words for them. And I literally think that's true of adults. And I think that like that's where therapy is the best because it gives you language. Mm-hmm. Once you have language to express yourself, you get less rage filled because but you didn't have that with your brothers.
No, it's
you
like,
were
hi,
little.
Therapist, I can't stop biting people and I'm 28 years old. I need some
help. She was like, let me give you some language, you know?
Let's talk through these emotions, Rach.
But I do think that helps. I think like more than even the like processing, it's just like having words to describe how you're feeling helps you not just be like, I got to show you how I'm feeling by like screaming, you know?
But I do think it happens in sports because it's not like there's like a microphone in front of you. Like you just kind of show your emotions because you're all out there.
There's also not time to pause and like say a dissertation about your thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So
totally.
With all of this being said, this is our list. Okay. So I'm fully ready to be trashed, but try not to. I would love to hear your suggestions. I would love to hear what you love.
Yeah, who you would put on yours.
Exactly. I would love to hear your favorite meltdown. So please hit us up. This is going to be really fun. And I'm sure we'll get some amazing tweets. Okay, so are you ready for number five?
I'm ready.
Coming in.
I'm so excited.
At number five, we are starting off strong. We begin with Jim Everett. He is a former Rams quarterback and has a flair for the dramatics. This is actually my personal favorite. My brothers introduced me to this video, and we laugh about it all the time, and I hope it makes you laugh too. So there is this guy named Jim Rome. If you are into sports and you watch sports and listen to sports on the radio, you will totally know who he is. If you don't,
God, I haven't thought about Jim Rome in a minute.
For real. He's been around forever. He's got a radio show that he does every day. He's a pretty big guy in the sports radio world. He has over 1 million followers on Twitter. The Jim Rome Show is tied for 21st when it comes to most listened to talk radio shows in the United States. I've listened to him a handful of times. I'm not a fan. I do not like this guy.
He's tough. He's like a strong cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah, perfect way to explain him. He's just a bit of a jerk. And he established that early on. Former NBA commissioner David Stern once accused him of making his career off of cheap thrills, which a lot of people do in this industry these days, and it fucking sucks. So in 1994... Jim Rome had this show on ESPN2 called Talk To, where he had athletes come on, they talk about their lives, blah, 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 whatever. One day, he invited Jim Everett on, and he is most known to have played on the LA Rams, but at this point in his career, he had just moved to the Saints in New Orleans, so they were going to chat about that and his life and whatever. So Jim Everett was a decent quarterback. He still actually holds records for the Rams in passing yards, but he had a record of 46 and 59. So like he sucked. You know, he was good, but at the same time, he was not good.
He was good, but like his record didn't reflect.
Exactly. Sure. He also, poor guy, bless his heart, got made fun of a lot because one time he took a phantom sack. So basically, he fell to the ground in anticipation of getting hit, and the hit never came, so he was just on the ground.
Rough.
Oh. Which is, like, to be honest, if I was in the NFL, I'd be, like, throwing up phantom sacks every single game.
On every play, your girl's down. They're like, you're not even a part of this play, and I'd be like, I could feel the pain.
We would be full Neymars in the game of football. Okay, so Jim Rome, for years, had called Jim Everett... Chris Everett to like fuck with him.
He's now a member of the Saints. Jim, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Check that. Chris Everett, good to have you on the show.
You know what? You know, you've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually. Chris.
Chris Everett is actually like this kick-ass female tennis player. She won 18 Grand Slam singles championships, 3 doubles titles.
Yeah.
And Jim Rome thought the best insult he could come up with is equating Jim Everett to an incredible female tennis player. So
let us like denormalize or unnormalize or whatever that is, equating like an insult to like calling someone a woman. Like that's the greatest
also
compliment.
That's just like not, you didn't think this through, my guy, because if anything, this is a compliment. Like this chick kicks ass. So anyways, this name calling had been going on for I think years. Like anytime he would talk about Everett on the radio, he would call him Chris, and you know, everyone would talk about it and whatever. So Jim Rome invited Jim Everett on his show to discuss his move to the Saints and presumably to continue his hilarious joke of calling him a woman. It did not go over well.
Somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret that, you know, we're sitting here right now. And if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time.
I already did it twice.
You call it one more time. We better take a station break.
Well, it's a 5-minute segment. Our 5-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of
you. Well, it's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good to see you,
because
too.
You've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we got no problem with
that. I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris. Hey, I was just kidding, man. Just kidding. Help! Help! Get him off me! Chris, help me! Get him off me! Get him off me! Help! Get him off! Get him off me!
Get off me!
Get him off me!
Incredible.
So, I know what you're all thinking. It's amazing to hear Jim Rome squeal like a little baby.
Yeah, like a baby. Like a man,
a baby.
Might I say. Jim Rome squealing like Jim ever.
Yep, there you go. Rome said that Everett knew he was going to do that, but like, why the fuck? Why are you bringing someone onto your show to humiliate them in the first place? Also, it's a dumb, like, come up with a better chirp.
To humiliate with them with, like, nothing. Like, it's not even interesting.
This is something that has gained popularity as the years have gone on. Nobody really talked about it when it happened because no one gives a shit about Jim Rome or, Jim Everett. But there were only a few mentions of the outburst and Jim Rome was labeled immature, but there was only one call out over sexism over the whole entire thing. I mean, you now know that the 1990s were very fun for women, obviously.
I mean, it turns out the 2010s, same. 2020s?
Yeah. 2020s, still in the same boat. So on the anniversary of this incident this year, Everett tweeted out a clip with, quote, "seems like yesterday" in some like weird cursive font and a winky emoji.
God, old people and emojis is something.
Guys, just don't use them after you get over a certain age. This is truly, it tickles me. This is one of my faves.
Hilarious.
My brothers and I always call each other Chris.
Earned or not? I root for no one in this story. You know what I mean?
It's just trash all around.
Just a couple of like hotheads, like whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Ding dongs.
Moving on to number four, another personal favorite, and we are going all the way to Canada for it. Have you ever heard of Ty Domi? Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Well, he is a very famous Toronto Maple Leafs player. That's hockey for you dum-dums.
I'm sorry. It's like the one sport I know less.
Honestly, same. And I'm Canadian, so I can't say shit. But Ty Domi was known for his fighting abilities. He has more penalty minutes than any other player in the history of the Maple Leafs and the third most in the NHL of all time. You didn't cross this motherfucker. He was like stone cold. If you got into it with Ty Domi, you're basically starting to pray to Jesus H. Christ himself because there's a chance you might die. You might die on the ice in front of everybody. Maybe you signed your will before you took the ice. I don't know. As a lawyer, I would suggest it. Because he was so rough and intense and just like one of the boys, he is so famous in Canada. He's so famous in Ontario. Like he's probably never paid for a beer in his entire life. And he still very much is. So now he may be a hero to us, but he is an absolute villain in literally every city across the United States. But nowhere was he more despised than in Philadelphia. Fans hated him. And Ty Domi ate that shit up. He loved it. This is what Ty said about playing there. "I played it up in Philly, especially for the fans," Domi said. "They were on me, and I would kind of taunt them on, too. So it was a lot of fun."
Ooh. I'm so fascinated by heels and people who, like, love it, you know? Like, and love being a heel. Because I am so broken around being wanting to be liked or, like, having a hard time if someone's upset with me that, like... I can't imagine being like, "bring it, motherfuckers." And I'd be like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Like immediate.
I was a heel exactly one time in my life. All three of my brothers came to watch me play hockey. And all they wanted to see was their little sister in the penalty box. And so I took a chick down. And I was like 12. Like I had no fucking idea what I was doing.
You did it for your brother's adoration, though. You did it for adoration elsewhere.
I did it for my brothers. I was in the penalty box. And I looked up in the stands. And they were all like, yeah. And that's why I am the way I am today.
Yeah. I'm just like fascinated. Like, I think it's like impressive in a way that like it takes like such a confidence.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, I think that they're all just like actors. Yeah. Like, I think that they just love the showmanship of it, you know?
Yeah. I just like would immediately be like, "I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
That's so mean."
Yeah. I probably wrote that girl a letter after. So in 2001, the Leafs are playing the Flyers one night in Philadelphia where everyone hates Ty Domi. It's the third period. The game is tied 1-1. Ty Domi was just sent to the penalty box for doing Ty Domi things.
And Ty Domi goes right back to look. And Kevin Collins is on the scene. And there will be no fight. Unbelievable. So the frustration will boil over. It'll get worse with the two guys yapping, going to the box, not happy. Neither of them got their frustrations out.
The fans begin throwing shit at him. Of course they do that to him then when he cannot physically harm
he's like
them.
Trapped inside a box.
Yeah, they would never do it to him on like the street. But Ty Domi started squirting water at the crowd. So it's like back and forth. And I think penalty boxes used to be a lot more accessible in the early 2000s. Probably because of what's about to happen is what made them less accessible. But so he covered them in water. And then this fan, Chris Falcone, reaches over the glass and tries to punch Ty Domi like an absolute wild man. The glass breaks. Then all of a sudden, Chris finds himself in the lion's den.
Oh, into the stands goes Ty Domi. The glass knocked out. A fan is...
Ty Domi snaps. The refs book it to the penalty box. Ty Domi's just like wailing on this guy. They're pulling these guys off of each other. It is absolute madness.
Now Kevin
Remember, Domi was throwing some water at the guy, and I think that got the ire of the Flyer fan.
Ty Domi punched the fan in the face twice, and Chris Falcone left the arena with the police to head straight to the hospital because he needed multiple stitches in the forehead.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Ty Domi played out the rest of the game after his penalty box stint was up. He was only fined $1,000, but get this, he was not fined for fighting the fan, but for spraying the water. The NHL said while squirting water might seem relatively harmless, the game shows it can cause a chain of anticipated and unfortunate events. So I think the bad guy here is Chris. I think that this is actually a fan temper tantrum.
I'm with you. I'm with Ty Domi here, like, whatever, but like, don't do that, dude. That's
exactly.
Not cool.
Exactly. So yeah. 15 years later, Ty Domi and the Philly fan were reunited over the phone and they made up and it was all nice.
Oh, love a happy ending.
Okay, on to number three.
Okay.
We're mixing it up with this one. I've got to say, I have never seen an athlete react in such a poor way over winning.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
Table tennis player Zhang Jike celebrated his win at the 2014 Table Tennis World Cup by throwing an absolute shit fit. This is... the funniest thing I have ever seen, Rechna. The video is amazing. So, okay, the annual World Cup is the third most important table tennis tournament out there, after the Olympics, of course, and the biannual World Championships. The prize money is $45,000. Okay. In the championship matchup, our guy Zhang was going up against his longtime rival, Ma Long. Zhang was ranked fourth in the world. Ma was ranked third. So this was like a very intense close matchup.
Gotcha.
Ma Long said, each of us has this certain period. Sometimes I'm a little better. Sometimes he's a little better. Perhaps we mirror each other.
So very evenly matched rivals.
Yep. A lot on the line here.
Yeah.
So in a very heated match, these guys were close the entire time. But Zhang takes the crown and then absolutely flips out. He rips his shirt open, like from the collar, hulks it, and just goes runs around screaming at the crowd for no reason, just yelling at people seated, just trying to watch some ping pong.
Yeah.
He kicks through multiple cardboard barriers that feature the names of tournament advertisers, like, screw you, Progressive, eat it, Chase. He is now bare-chested, throws his shirt into the crowd. The crowd is now loving it. Meanwhile, Ma's over here like, what's happening? Can I go home now?
What?
I truly love this so much. You should be able to celebrate literally any way you want. Mm-hmm. You are a ping pong champion.
Yeah. If you need to get angry, you do you.
You are a ping pong champion. Okay, but on the flip side, chill the fuck out because you are a ping pong champion. Anyways, people do not like this reaction. The tournament's jury strips him of his $45,000 prize.
Shit.
Critics believe this was meant to send a message that table tennis is a respectable game and must be treated with dignity.
I was going to say, I wondered if it was around that.
And Zhang apologized after. I am very sorry for what I did. It was not acceptable behavior, and I am sorry. This was a perfect victory. I have been under a great deal of pressure with people questioning my form. Even Ma was like, guys, chill. Zhang's personality is very strong, thus such kind of release after the match. I hope everyone will see it properly. So this is actually very interesting.
Yes.
It's insane to see the differences in the reaction from our number two, Ty Domi, who only got fined $1,000, to number three, who got stripped of absolutely everything. In my opinion, this is what makes sports fun, is that we see this like incredible emotion from this guy that just won $45,000 against his like rival. He rips his shirt open. Like, it's amazing. It's a great tantrum.
It's like a release.
Exactly. This is people, this is why we love sports. Stop taking the good stuff away from us.
I also feel like a video like that, like, could have in a certain time gone like viral and brought a lot of attention
to table tennis.
Table tennis, which is a sport that like probably deserves more attention than it gets, you know?
Okay, I know I called it ping pong, but like table tennis is fucking legit.
Good table. It's fun to watch. It's insane.
Like it goes so fast, you can't even see the ball.
Yes. I'm with him. I'm with him and his weird release
Zhang
celebration.
We're with
you. Angry celebration.
We're with you. Okay, number two.
Okay.
We're getting close, folks. This could have easily been number one because it is, bar none, the craziest thing to happen during any sporting event that has ever taken place in the history of sports.
A big statement.
Do you have any idea what it is? Do you want to guess?
I can't even guess. I feel like 100 things are rushing my brain, so I'm so curious.
Number two, Mike Tyson.
Sure.
On June 28th, 1997, Evander Holyfield faced Mike Tyson for the second time at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Big old deal.
They had fought 7 months earlier, and Holyfield won by knockout in the 11th round. This time around, the place was packed. Tensions were high. This was like the most important boxing match ever.
The waiting is over. The talking is done. The rematch is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not ever, but close to it. In the beginning, at least. Holyfield came out swinging again. He was absolutely dominant early on. He won the first three rounds, but Mike Tyson kept on complaining about these first three bouts because Holyfield kept headbutting him. The refs checked afterwards and decided the headbutts were unintentional and non-punishable, but they did cut up Tyson pretty good. He had a cut above his right eye in the second round.
Right.
So Tyson's temper started to flare. He started the third round with no mouth guard in, like totally forgetting that he's about to be in a fight. He was so agitated. He came out with a vicious attack right off the bat.
Tyson with a short left hook to the head of Holyfield. To the head of Holyfield, a straight right.
The left hook got his attention, then he came back with a nice 1-2, a left hook and a right hand, and Holyfield looked like he was stunned.
With 40 seconds remaining in the third round, Holyfield had Tyson in a clinch. Tyson rolled his head under Holyfield's ear and fucking bit it off.
What happened here?
He got bit, I think.
Evander Holyfield, look out, he's pushed right here, above us by Tyson.
He's got bit in the ear.
Oh, my goodness. He's got a bloody right ear. Holyfield bit by a dirty Mike Tyson.
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
One of the wilder things I've ever seen in my life.
A one-inch piece of ear was spat out onto the mat by Tyson for everybody at the MGM to see.
Ew!
Like, stop the fight right then and there, you guys. Holyfield is screaming bloody murder and bleeding profusely, obviously.
Sure.
The man's
a lot of nerve endings there.
Ear was just bitten off. He pushed Tyson away and walked to his corner, but Tyson still wasn't done and tried to keep fighting him because he is a deranged human, probably.
Yeah.
The fight was delayed for a few minutes. At first, officials wanted to call it off, but the ringside doctor said that Holyfield was actually able to keep fighting. And because I guess this is like fucking gladiator season, it was back on.
Well, boxing is like such a corrupt fucking sport. So
Jesus. He only deducted 2 points from Tyson, and the bell rings. They continue the fight. During another clinch where Holyfield had Tyson, Tyson bit his other ear.
Tyson has bitten Evander Holyfield for the second time, and it is all out war.
I saw that one. That was right clear.
Two bites. It wasn't as bad as the first one. He didn't, like, spit it onto the mat or anything like that. And the fight continued, and it wasn't discovered.
So you can kind of relate, because biting was, like, your go-to also.
I mean, okay, but I'm not Mike Tyson. I'm not Mike Tyson level of biting. I was just trying to, like, get them to say, okay, you win. Wasn't trying to take a chunk out of their earlobe. So the officials realized Mike did it again and called the match, disqualifying him. Like, you, why didn't, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
On the second ear bite, we were like, we should call it.
Maybe we should have done it after the first ear bite. After the fight was stopped, Tyson just lost his mind. Went crazy in the ring. Security had to separate both pairs. Now, immediately following the fight, Tyson was unapologetic. saying this. No one deducted points. This is my career. What am I supposed to do? I've got children to raise. He kept butting me. Holyfield is not a tough warrior. He got a little cut on his ear and he quit. Holyfield didn't want to fight regardless of what he did. Look at me. Look at me. I'll go home and my kids will be scared of me. Sir, you bit somebody's ear. I'm going to guess that your kids are probably already pretty scared of you. Mike Tyson's boxing license was revoked and he was fined $3 million plus legal costs. What's sort of mind-boggling about this incident is that just 6 years prior to biting someone's ear off, he was convicted of rape and served time in prison. So not only was the sport willing to look past the violent conviction and allow him back into the ring, but even after biting off someone's ear twice, his boxing license was reinstated in 1999, just 3 years later, because of fucking course it was. Ugh. Reshna, I'm sure you know this, but a single boxing fight can make millions and millions of dollars. In fact, Tyson's first comeback fight after his stint in prison for rape made over $96 million with over 1.5 million purchasing access to the fight.
They don't give a fuck about anything but money.
Does anyone?
I mean, yeah. Like, I think if we're learning nothing, we're learning people don't have a value system unless it's to judge other people.
Yeah.
But they don't have it for themselves. So that's great.
So with the numbers that I just said, I mean, it's no wonder that boxing prioritizes their wallet over everything else. And it's not just boxing. It's a lot of sports. It's the NFL. It's the NBA. It's this, that, and the other.
They're like, he raped someone. They're like, but $96 million.
But guys, he's popular. He's got like a cool face tattoo.
Meanwhile, I got to tell you, like a lady does like one tiny thing and everyone's like,
yeah,
this fucking bitch, she's gonna lose all her sponsorships.
Megan Rapinoe dyes her hair pink and like fucking,
yeah, they're like,
soccer is canceled,
out of control, disrespectful. Mike Tyson rapes a woman, goes to jail for it, is convicted, and they're like, our guy, get in here, buddy.
Yeah. What's also crazy is like how popular this dude is in pop culture. I mean, he's like appeared in countless movies and television shows. The Hangover. There's literally a Wikipedia page from Mike Tyson in pop culture.
Ugh, it's gross.
So what have we learned here? If anything, this bad behavior and emotional outbursts are not only encouraged, but monetarily rewarded. Mike Tyson biting someone's ear off is just good old money-making television.
Interesting.
Shitty is what it is.
I'm like sort of like I have anxiousness about what's one, if that was two.
Well, listen. We have seen a lot of weird shit in sports, but number two is kind of got to take the cake. Like it's like two, but it's also one. But number one, who really isn't number one at all? She doesn't deserve to be on this list, but we are putting her at number one to prove a point. But Rechna, I'm not going to tell you who it is until after the break. Hall of Shame is brought to you by Backcountry. Guys, we've all been stuck inside for the past 100 months. And guess what? The outdoors is calling us. And if you want to answer, Backcountry.com is the place to go. Because when you shop at Backcountry.com, you can pick up the phone and talk gear with an actual former Olympian. Founded by a former Olympic skier, Backcountry.com is the best place for outdoor gear and apparel. I just went on Backcountry.com and I went shopping, which I have not done in a million years, what feels like. I got a really cute jacket. I got a really cute sweater. I am very excited about it. From Patagonia to Yeti to Big Agnes to Santa Cruz bicycles, Backcountry.com has thousands of your favorite brands and products for every outdoor adventure. Not sure where to start on camping gear, skis, or a winter jacket? When you ask for help at Backcountry.com, you are not getting an outdoor hobbyist. Backcountry gearheads are experts. Experts who can give you a masterclass in the great outdoors. See, I love this because I love hiking, but I also love looking like I hike. If you know what I mean. Same goes for yoga. Like, I want to walk by and people are like, oh man, like she definitely knows how to do a down dog situation. You know what I mean? And I'm incredibly lazy and I don't work out that often. So yeah. Anything from providing you a detailed pack list for your next summit to gift recommendations for your outdoorsy friend to what winter jacket works for you. Everything Backcountry sells is the highest quality, but the Backcountry gearheads are the real difference. They are former pro athletes, Olympians, 100 plus days a year skiers, and seasoned guides with years of experience. All available 24/7 by phone, email, or chat for product recommendations and hard-won advice. Wow, this is cool. Go to backcountry.com/shame to get 15% off your first full-priced purchase. Some exclusions apply. Go right now to get 15% off at backcountry.com/shame. That's backcountry.com/shame. Hall of Shame is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. As an employer, you've got a lot on your plate, running your business, ensuring workplace safety, and much more. So leave your hiring to the one place that makes finding qualified candidates fast and easy. ZipRecruiter.com/shame. ZipRecruiter.com/shame. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter makes hiring efficient and effective with features like screening questions to filter candidates and an all-in-one dashboard where you can review and rate your candidates. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/shame. That's ZipRecruiter.com/shame. ZipRecruiter.com/shame. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hall of Shame is brought to you by PayPal. Okay, guys, let me talk to you about PayPal and why I love it so much. At the beginning of quarantine, I was doing this really dumb cooking show, but we were trying to raise money for Meals on Wheels. So I shared my PayPal and all of these people were sending me $5, $2, $1, $10. We raised over $5,000 with the help of PayPal and we were able to donate it to Meals on Wheels, Los Angeles. And to be honest, it was one of the more prouder moments of my life. Things may have changed around us, but our inner drive to be there for people we care about runs deeper than ever. Our normal has changed, and we are finding new ways to connect and continue supporting one another. We've started social distancing when we spend time with friends and explore local cuisine, and we're doing more to support and advocate for underrepresented communities. So, what we need more than ever is an easy way to support each other from afar. With the PayPal app, sending and receiving money is faster and easier. Stay connected with people you love. Quickly and securely send money to friends and family just about anywhere in the world. Start a money pool to split the bill, go in on a gift, or, hello, fundraise for a good cause. Make touch-free QR code payments at your favorite local restaurant or farmer's market. Donate to a local nonprofit or support a cause from across the country. PayPal is making it easy to pay safely, quickly, and easily. Download the PayPal app today. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, we are back with our number one, who again does not deserve to be our number one. Rechna, any guesses to who it might be?
Serena.
Serena Williams, our queen, comes in at number one because little crybaby men cannot handle a woman showing her emotions on the court. At the 2018 U.S. Open, Serena Williams was playing our other queen, Naomi Osaka. Umpire Carlos Ramos gave Serena a coaching violation during the match. He thought he saw Serena's coach signaling her from the stands, which is illegal. She told Ramos,
"If he gives me a thumbs up, he's telling me to come on. We don't have any code, and I know you don't know that. And I understand why you may have thought that was coaching, but I'm telling you it's not. I don't cheat to win. I'd rather lose. I'm just letting you know."
It was a coaching violation. I guess it was a thumbs up, and Serena's setting him straight that that is not coaching.
But I could understand why you may have thought that, but just know I
don't cheat. I'd rather lose. I'm just letting you know. Moments later, she hit the ball into the net in frustration and she broke her racket.
Osaka.
Serena, Elena Dufresne, smash that one.
Something that her male counterparts have done literally countless times.
And John McEnroe, like, they were like, our guy! Like, that was his thing that made him, like, lovable.
Roll the clip.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line. Chalk flew up. It was clearly in. How can you possibly call that out? How many you can miss? That he's walking over. Everyone knows it's in this whole stadium. And you call it out? Explain that to me, will you?
You can repeat it.
It wasn't anything. We're not going to have a point taken away because this guy's an incompetent fool. You know that? That's what he is. That's what he is, right? And we're not going to have a point taken away because I said nothing that was like obscene or anything.
So this is not new behavior. In fact, I'd say it's pretty common. Mostly common from the other side.
Yep. So like not only, yes, do they do it all the time, but they get props. Like when they do it, everyone's like, our guy, so passionate.
Yeah.
Lovable. Love this.
Love this look on you.
Yeah. You know what? Are you so brave?
When we do it, it's like, is it that time of the month, Serena?
Yeah. Oh, I guess our girl's got a tampon in. I don't know.
So this is not new behavior. In fact, I'd say it's pretty common.
Card violation, racket abuse, point penalty, Mrs. Williams.
This go around, when Serena reacted, the umpire took more points from her and an entire match.
Did not see that coming. And now Serena's confused by the score being called out.
This is unbelievable. Every time I play here, I'm problems. What? Yeah, that's a warning. I didn't get coaching. I didn't get coaching. You need to make an announcement that I didn't get coaching. I don't cheat. I didn't get coaching. How can you say that? You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. I have never cheated in my life. I have a daughter and I stand what's right for her and I've never cheated. And you owe me an apology.
So she went on to lose, and Naomi Osaka won her very first Grand Slam title. Serena was on the front page of Harper's Bazaar a year later with an extensive interview that I'm going to pull a few things from, because who better to hear from than the queen herself in this situation. This is what Serena said about this particular moment. I could not have been happier for her. As for me, I felt defeated and disrespected by a sport that I love, one that I have dedicated my life to and that my family truly changed. Not because we were welcomed, but because we wouldn't stop winning. Girl, I got chills.
That just gave me chills. I love her. And she's so right. The way that people treated the Williams sisters when they first came on to the sport, it was unconscionable.
Yeah, well, listen, she's a hero of ours, and like this broke her heart, but it also affected so many women who support her. Like the way this dominated every conversation in the sports world for like a week and a half was sexist, racist, unacceptable, and to be honest, just fucking dumb.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like that thing where like women are so composed all the time, we're so expected to be a certain way all the time that like it stands out because we are like held to such a different set of standards. Men do it all the time, so people are like, whatever.
Exactly. It's like par for the course for them. And insane. It's like, oh my God, shocking when we actually stand up for ourselves. Here's just an example of how the press depicted her. A cartoonist at the Herald Sun, an Australian publication, depicted her in a really stereotypically racist way.
Ugh. It's horrifying.
Disgusting. Reshna, we all know that you're a huge tennis fan. What was your reaction when this stuff started to happen?
I was furious because the disproportionate coverage about it took away from Osaka's win, right? So, like, I think even Serena was like, this is her moment.
Exactly,
not mine.
Yeah.
And they acted like Serena tried to take away from her moment. And it's like, no, media, your fucking coverage is the issue.
Yeah.
It was actually, if I'm remembering right, kind of a beautiful moment between them at the end of the match.
Yeah, she was like crying and Serena was hugging her and she was like, congratulations, you did great. Yeah.
Yeah. And so instead of like focusing on that incredible sportsmanship, they of course wanted to focus on this other thing, because I just think that like we don't hold the same openness for women. Like we're just held in such stricter boxes.
Yeah.
It's so fucking, I was furious on so many levels. John McEnroe made a career out of doing that and like never, ever, not only like just like was like praised for it. Like we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to me. Yeah, and it was just like, it's so blatantly racist and sexist that you're just like, really? Like, we're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Exactly.
But that's the world we live in.
So Serena Williams was fined $17,000, by the way, for breaking her racket. Serena said, "My heart broke. I started to think again. What could I have done better? Was I wrong to stand up? Why is it that when women get passionate, they're labeled emotional, crazy, and irrational? But when men do, they're seen as passionate and strong."
That's right. That's it. She said it in a nutshell.
At the core of this, quote, meltdown, Serena was defending her integrity and became emotional because her character was being questioned.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's something worth fighting for.
We've seen men melt down because, like, the cult, they thought it was out and it was in, and we've seen that. She's, like, literally, like, "You're accusing me of being a cheater. I am not. That's not okay with me."
And remind me, I'm pretty sure she was just like, "I have a daughter. I don't want my daughter thinking that her mother is a cheater."
Yeah, it matters.
So, at the end of the day, we love it when athletes show emotion. It means they care. Male or female.
Unless they're biting someone's ear off, and then that's like taking it too far.
Unless they're biting somebody's ear. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But the point is, you can't celebrate someone for something and then tear down another for the exact same thing. Serena does not deserve to be on this list for one second. This episode was really just a way to like stan our queen, and we all tricked you into listening. Mm. And so if you made it this far, joke's on you, I guess.
We love Serena Williams.
While we're at it, Serena just finished playing at the US Open, where she made it to the semifinals, and as of the release of this podcast, is currently playing at Roland Garros in France, and we will be cheering her on.
Yes.
Woo! This is a very female power podcast.
I love it.
I love it too. That's it for Hall of Shame. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Hall of Shame is a product of Crooked Media. The show is produced by Caroline Reston and Allison Falzetta.
Our executive producers are Sarah Geismer and Stephen Hoffman. Engineering and sound design by Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis.
Our theme music is by Taka Yasuzawa. Thank you to Sydney Rapp and Brian Semmel for production support every week.